screen in front of you. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolation.
We serve a wonderful God. He allowed us to rise this morning and to come and to shake one another's hands and to smile at each other. But you know, some of us woke up fussing too, you know, but that's all right. Amen, amen. He yet gave us the activity of our limbs. This breath that we just inhaled and exhaled, he blessed us with that as well. And that's just some of the good gifts that he give us. I just thank and praise God for today, because today surely is the day that the Lord has made. You know, I've wrestled with my voice. It's been in and out. We had a concert last night, and I think I left it all at the concert. Amen, amen. But that's all right, too, because it was straight praise. It was total praise that we presented unto the Lord. And I truly believe the women were blessed. And you know, that's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's all about him. Amen, amen. And we're nothing more than a conduit, amen, to get folk that don't know to him. Amen, amen. I'm nothing more than an usher. I want to usher you to Christ. Is that all right? I just want to take this time again to just say welcome to all the guests here this morning and my family here on this row. I tell you, I got a son here from my first ministry. I tell you, it's a blessing to see you. I didn't expect to see you, son. Amen. But he's an adopted son. Amen. And my son, my daughter-in-love, thanks to Susie. Susie said, you don't call them daughter-in-laws. They're daughters-in-love. My daughter-in-love. Amen. And she's very special to me. And my granddaughters. These are our two oldest granddaughters, and I just celebrate them this morning. I didn't expect it. I think Sister Pat was working behind the scenes on me, because I didn't expect to see him this morning. And I tell you, you're talking about my heart just leaped with joy. My heart leaped when I saw him come in. Amen. These are my flowers, and I want to thank you for presenting me my flowers this morning. Amen. I'm going to get on with the word, but I had to recognize you. Amen. You are dear to my heart. Amen. Let me dry this up now. Amen. Unsprung a leak. Seem like this weekend have been the most leak-springing weekend that I've experienced in a long time. It's like I just can't seem to plug these waterworks. And I think it's just because it's the spring of the year. And without water, nothing grows. So there are some new seeds in my heart. Are you hearing me? And it requires water in order for those seeds to grow. Some things are about to spring forth, not only in me, but in this entire church, this entire congregation. God is doing a new thing. And I pray that he just open your eyes to see what he's doing for such a time as this. I'm going to speak to you briefly today about just having a God of a second chance. Isn't it nice to be able to get a second chance when you messed up the first time around? Brother Willie, you know something about that, don't you? Amen, amen, amen. And he's also the God of the lost and found. Amen. Mm-hmm. I had one time in my life, I considered myself to be lost. But now I consider myself to be found as well. Amen. When I was young, we visited some relatives of my mother that lived in, Big Sandy, Texas. And in Big Sandy, Texas, they had chickens in the front yard and had a dog that would chase the chickens. And I wasn't too familiar with dogs back then. We had never had a dog. I didn't know dog psychology. So I had a fear of the dog. And during that time, my stepdad had a 53 Mercury, a 1953 Mercury. And these people had a fence around their front yard. And I stepped out in the yard, and the dog came toward me. And I started running. And as I ran, I guess I had watched too much Johnny Weissmuller, which was Tarzan back in the day. This is the black and white version of Tarzan, okay? This was before color. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But I did a dive over the fence into the open window of that 53 Mercury, and I hit the top of my head right here. I still have a scar, and this was in the late 50s. I'm talking 58 or 59. And I still have that scar from where I hit my head, but I was running from that dog. I was reading a poem about the Hound of Heaven. And this poem was written by an English poet, and Francis Thompson. And I'm just going to give you a short excerpt from this poem. And it really blessed my heart. It really blessed me when I read it. And I read it years ago. And as I was studying for this time before you, it came back to mind, and it reads, I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind, and in the midst of tears, I hid from him. And under running laughter, I vested hopes, I sped and shot, precipitated adown titanic glooms of chasmed fears from those strong feet that followed after me. But with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic ecstasy, they beat. And a voice beat, more instant than my feet. All things betray thee. Who betrayest me? I fled thee. I fled thee. According to John O'Connor, he did this take on this poem in 1912, and he said, as the hound follows the hare, never ceasing in its running, ever drawing nearer in its chase, with unhurrying and unperturbed pace, so does God follow the fleeing soul by his divine grace. God follows us as we run, as we flee from him. He follows just like a hound. He says, and though in sin or in human love, away from God, it seeks to hide itself, divine grace follows after. Isn't it something we actually run from divine grace? We actually run from our blessings. But you know, it is a blessing again. Just the simple things to keep in mind is just that breath of air you just inhaled and exhaled. I say that because it's so simple, and it's just a matter of grace. He's so gracious to us, he allows us to breathe. Something that we take for granted. Goes on to say that unwearingly follows ever after till the soul feels its pressure, forcing it to turn to him alone in that never-ending pursuit. Just chase us till we just can't be chased no more. You ever seen people, you know, they were called to do something in ministry, but yet they ran from that call, that election, that duty, that work, that thing that God has predestined them to do? If it's nothing more than just telling someone about the goodness of God, they yet flee from that. Well, I just don't know how to talk to people. And all you have to say is, how are you doing? God bless you. Don't you know Jesus loves you and you've accomplished the task? Simple. I always loved this poem, but I had trouble putting the prose together, but I love it now, and now I understand much of the story, and it is quite a story. And many of us can relate to it as we go through our lives doing what we like, when we like, and feeling unfulfilled. You know, I remember spending time in life where I did feel somewhat unfulfilled in what I was doing because I wasn't doing what I was called to do. See? And this world is owned by a base enemy who just loves the way most of us are living our lives. And we forget that God only wants one thing for us. And that one thing that God wants for us is for us to love him and all of his creation. Simple as that. One thing he wants from us. But yet he chases us. He pursues us. But just like the Lord is pursuing us, there's another hound, a hound of hell, that's pursuing us as well. But I'd rather give in to the hound of heaven than the hound of hell. Are you hearing me this day? If I'm going to submit to anything or anyone, let me submit unto God. Where there's life, where there is abundant life, where there is a peace that the Bible says, a peace that passes all understanding. And some of us have experienced that peace. Have you ever just been so at ease and so at peace with a situation that other people just didn't understand why you had so much peace? You should be crying. You should be upset, but yet you have peace. And that is the peace that passes all understanding. We all have, we'll hear this, but it scares us to bits. But we run with the life that makes us comfortable. We're comfortable being in an area that provides comfort, ease, and comfort unto us. So that's what we run to. And anything that'll go against that comfort zone, we have a tendency to go the opposite direction. I remember running from that dog back in the 50s. And it was all about fear. I was running because I was afraid. I was afraid of the unknown. And when I hit that car, I made it inside the car, but when I raised up after diving through that window, blood was running down my face. And as the blood was running down my face, the people in the yard, they were somewhat laughing, but they were saying, he's a friendly dog. He won't bite you. And I didn't understand that the wagging of the tail was a good sign that the dog would not bite. And I learned from that day forward, all things aren't as they appear. Even though he was chasing after me, he wasn't coming after me to harm me or to hurt me. All he wanted for me was to pet him, to rub his head. And I had this large knot upside my head to learn that lesson. Just like the hound of heaven, he's not chasing you to hurt you, to cause you harm, pain, no discomfort. But all he wants is to love you. Just like that dog that wags his tail, just want you to rub his ear, just rub. It's something about behind the ear that brings him a sense of ease and comfort. But I think when we show true love and respect to our Lord and Savior, it brings him a sense of ease and comfort as well. We're forever running one way or the other. Some of us just make a pit stop in places like this on Sunday mornings, which is okay. But when you go out the door, you get back into the race. You start running again. But I think it's good sometimes to just stop and analyze why you're actually running and what you're running from. What are you afraid of? What are you running from? Our scripture text today is taken from the book of Romans. I'll read that. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 21. And it says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's that word again, peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace. There's that word again, grace. In which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is our comforter as well. And it goes on to read in verse 6, for while we were still weak, yet sinners, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Reconciliation. We have received reconciliation. Well, what is reconciliation? Reconciliation is nothing more than a restoration of friendly relations. We've been reconciled to God. Because of what Adam did, the first Adam, he put us in a death-like state. He brought a death sentence upon us. But because of the death of Christ, we were reconciled unto God. We were no longer under that death sentence. Reconciliation is nothing more than the action of making one's view or belief compatible with another. We can see through the eyes of God. Amen. Amen. Things have been settled between man and God. So we have been reunited. There is a reunion between us and God. Amen. And we need to be aware of that so we can actually walk with that, walk with God, just like Adam did in the Garden of Eden. Before he chose to partake of the fruit, he would walk in the cool of the day with God. Isn't that something? To have such a relationship where you could walk in the cool of the day with the Lord. God of a second chance. When I was young, we used to call it a do-over. Okay, can I do it over? When I was running track, we would call it scratch. And we'd go back to the starting line and start again. God is a God of a second chance. See, what the enemy does sometimes, if we mess up and mess up and mess up and mess up, he'll fix it in our minds that there is no longer a chance for us to be saved. There is no longer a chance for us to escape the death penalty that we feel sin has brought up on us. But we serve a God of a second chance. I want you to know today there is nothing you have done that is bad enough for God not to forgive you. You are forgiven. Amen? Grab hold of that and pass that word on, because there are some out there you may know that may feel as if they cannot be forgiven. But we serve a God of a second chance through justification. Well, what is justification? Justification is nothing more than the action of showing something to be right and reasonable. We are in right and reasonable right standings with God because of what Christ did on the cross. He justified us. Amen? So therefore, we've been adopted in, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And that peace, that shalom peace, have been extended unto us as well. God is such an awesome God. He restores us, he reconciles us, he justifies us, and all of that results in peace. In one sense, we could point to everything else in this message as following from this peace with God, and we'd be correct in that assessment, but we will treat the other things separately and only mention one result of peace with God, and that is the peace of God. The Old Testament word, again, is shalom for peace, and a deeper word than that, than our notions of peace. And its New Testament equivalent refers to the full sense of peace that we feel because of our relationship with God in Christ. It is this peace of God that Paul tells us we need to allow to rule in our hearts. If you meet someone who truly has the peace of God, it's something different about that individual. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met someone that it was just difficult to approach them? Hard. No peace. Mean, angry. If you encounter an angry person, what do? Do you come up or do you stay away from them? You back away from someone that's angry, someone that's fuming. But when a person is at peace, he's reachable. You can touch him. You can approach him. And this is the peace that God gives each and every one of us as well. There's a promise in the book of Philippians 4 and 6. And that scripture tells us, do not be anxious about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God, I'm going to say that again. And the peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we need a guard on our heart and on our mind. Sometimes people can offend you. But if you're walking in this peace that passes all understanding, they cannot get through to you because your heart and your mind is already guarded. When you encounter people that people who try to push your buttons, you should pray for them, but don't give them space between your ears. Because if you give them space between your ears, they will steal your peace. Have you ever had your peace stolen? Have you ever been in a good mood and come into a group of people that just steal your peace? Am I the only one that's ever done that? Come on. Amen. You embrace your peace. You hold on to your peace because your peace is your peace. Your peace is a gift from God. Peace is a God-given gift. You can't go to Neiman Marcus and buy it. Can't buy it at Dillard's or Macy's, but it's a gift from God. Amen? Amen. One of the worst things we could wish for someone would be peace of mind absent from the peace of God. You know, it's one thing to have peace of mind, but if you don't have a peace of God, you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. If God isn't in the equation, you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. Having peaceful feelings which are not based upon reality of peace with God would only be to have an anesthetic rather than a cure. It's like if you had cancer, do you want a painkiller or would you want a cure? I would want a cure for it. And if peace could cure me, I want that peace that's supplied by God. That peace is being offered here this morning as well. You know, there have been Sunday mornings when it haven't been an easy task for me to even show up. Seemed like every obstacle I can even imagine jump up and bite me some mornings, especially when I had my own church. It would be so difficult to get to the house of God. And when I would reach my destination, I would feel so relieved. I would actually say, Lord, thank you for allowing me to make it. There are some people that struggled this morning to get here. Are you hearing me? There are some that couldn't make it because the obstacles were so great. They couldn't get over the hurdles. So therefore, they didn't make it. But I serve the devil notice today that he yet have no victory because he stopped them from making it today, but they will make it. Amen. We have to strive. We have to press our way. We can't give up. And every day, if you're working for the Lord or moving for the Lord, it's a day of work. It's a day of the press. You have to press your way. You know, it's not all hunky-dory and flowers and violins. And come on. There's some work involved in this walk with Christ. If you're truly a Christian, there's some work involved. Amen. And we get weary sometimes. But the word encourages us not to grow weary in well-doing. We press on. We press on toward the high call of God in Christ Jesus. We press on toward the mark. We press. We push our way. Because all of us are only here but for a moment. You know? We may have three, maybe four, maybe five generations, and it seems like after four or five generations, we're forgotten anyway. So this time and space that we have right now is what's valuable. You know, we have the date that we're born and the date that we die, but that dash in the middle is, oh, so significant. What are we doing in the dash? Are we wasting time? Are we walking in this peace that God has supplied us? Are we walking in this, in these gifts that he's so given us? Romans 6, 1, 2, 3, it tells us, it speaks of when death becomes life. It says, so what do we do then? Do we keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving us? Now, if God have blessed us, he's forgiven us of sin, and he's the God of a second chance, and he's given us yet a second chance to kind of get it right, do we continue to walk in that? Something to think about, isn't it? I know God saved, healed, forgave, set me apart, took me out of some circumstances, some situations, some mindsets that only he could deliver from. But if I turn around and go right back to where he's taken me from, I'd actually be defeating the purpose. And some of those things, if I chose to return to it, I would destroy not only a relationship with my God in heaven, but I believe with my family as well. Because those decisions and that behavior just would not become me. It's not becoming. But yet God have delivered us out of so much stuff. Some things we may not choose to share, but he did it. God did it. It says, well, should I continue on in sin? I should hope not. If we left the country where sin is sovereign, where sin rules supreme, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? See, some places we need to leave for good. Some places, and some places can just be some habits we need to leave for good. And your habit is your habit. I'm not here to talk about your habit. But some things you need to leave for good. I use this analogy often, and I'm going to finish this scripture, but Monday is my trash day. I bag up all the trash in the house on the weekend. I put it in my canisters, my trash canisters. And Sunday night, I put it in the alley because I know bright and early Monday morning, they're going to come and get my trash. And if I'm at home Monday morning, I can hear the truck in the alley coming to get my trash can. Now, this is the stuff, all the food, all the stuff, and all the stuff I've discarded over the course of a week. Now, if I decided, you know, that milk tasted a little spoiled, but maybe I could get a couple more days out of this milk, and I put it in the trash. Now, can you imagine me going back out there and holding the truck up? Hold up, hold up! I think I can get another day or two out of this carton of milk. And I take that carton and take it back into my house. This is just like sin. I hope I'm paying a clear picture. Sometimes we get rid of stuff, we throw it away, we put it in the trash. But for the life of me, why don't we go back and get that stuff? Leave it in the trash. And when the truck come get it, don't chase the truck down the alley trying to reclaim it.
But we do.
I did it. And I had to pray a prayer. I said, God, Father, help me not to chase the trash truck. Lord, I want to be delivered from chasing the trash truck. Now, you've taken it away from me. I don't want no part of it anymore. I do not want it in my life anymore. And I prayed and I asked you to take it and remove it from me. And here I am chasing down the truck to get it back. Oh, deliver me, Father, for I know not what I do. I need help. And I prayed a simple prayer. And it was simply, God, help me, because I can't help myself. And sometimes all we need to do is say that simple prayer. And it's just simply, God, help me, because I can't help myself. And we all reach that point at some point in our lives. When we get baptized, we're baptized in water. When we go under the water, we leave that old country of sin behind. And when we came up out of the water, we entered into a new country, a country of grace. Sometimes we need to change locations. Sometimes we need to do that it takes to make us afresh and to make us anew. When we come up and we enter that new country of grace, we come into a new life and a new land. It is amazing what baptism does. It's just like the life of Christ. When they brought him down from the Christ, from the cross, and they buried him in the tomb, that was like a baptism. He was lowered into the earth. And when he rose on the third day, he rose with all power. All power was given unto him. Same with us. When we give that sin to the Lord and we allow that thing to be buried, that thing to be put away by God, because we confuse it sometimes as thinking that we can do this. And really, in essence, there is nothing we can do, because some things are bigger than us. There is a song that was sang, and I believe it was the Canton Spirituals, and they said, I'm going to clean up what I messed up, and I'm starting my life all over again. But they can't clean it up. Sometimes it takes someone a little bigger to clean up a mess. You know, and as I say that, I can see a baby in a high chair. You've let him loose with a spoon and something that's been crushed. You know what crushed, pureed food look like. And this baby, he's unskilled with the spoon. So therefore, food is everywhere on him and all over the place, uh-huh. And that baby can't clean up himself. It requires someone else to come and to clean that baby up. Sometimes it requires someone else to come and clean up our messes. I hope I'm making sense this morning. Because we can't do it. Come on. Baby in a pamper. I just got to do it. Baby in a pamper. You see, the pamper's a little weighted here. You know, a little wet. You've seen a full pamper? Had kind of sagging in the back. You know what I'm saying? Now, if he's not your baby, if she's not your baby, even though she's cute, everybody's not going to scoop that kid up and take care of that pamper. But she's still cute. She's pretty. Oh, she's so handsome. She's so cute. But are you going to touch that diaper? It takes a special love. It takes a special person. It takes a special bond for someone to put their hands in that mess. And some of us are just about that mess. And it takes a special God. It takes a special God who loves us despite our mess to put his hands up on us and to clean us up. I appreciate the cleanings that he's given me, Brother Willie. Come on. I appreciate how he's cleaned me, because he cleaned areas I couldn't reach. Can you clean your back? Come on. Can you wash your own back? That's an area you can't reach. But we serve a God that can clean those areas we can't even reach. There are some areas in our mind, between our ears, that things pop up that we know we ought not be entertaining and thinking of. That's an area that we may not be able to reach. But yet he can clean that area up. I'm feeling this thing. Now that's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God of a second chance. Of a second chance. All we have to do is ask him. God, help me. Simple request. Because we are his children. And that's where that special heart come from. When you see that baby with that messy diaper. Because it's your child. Regardless of the condition that child is in, you will receive it, and you will clean them up. How many mothers and fathers do we have in here? Come on, don't be ashamed. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Would your neighbor clean up your baby quicker than you would? Or clean them up and half clean them? And if you half clean them, they may get a little shakes. Are you hearing me? Because they wasn't clean with love. While we serve a God that will clean us with love. With love. Isn't that amazing? I need a lovely cleaning. I need to be cleaned with some love. In my mind, I may feel I've arrived, I may feel I'm already clean, but I need a daily cleaning. I need to be touched daily. So does you. You change a diaper 2-3 times a day. I did not come and expect to preach diapers. But thank you, Holy Spirit, because this is ministry. Need a diaper change more than once a day. Because we're human. We make mistakes, but we serve a God of a second chance. We serve a God of a second chance. If you don't remember nothing I said today, know that you know that you know that we serve a God of a second chance. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. I won't be before you long. I'm going to wrap this thing up. I don't think I could make it any clearer than I've made it. You know, our old way of life has been nailed on the cross with Christ and a decisive end to that sin, miserable life. And we no longer is at sin's every beck and call. You know, some of us, it's been when sin called, we go. But we're no longer, after we've been clean, is at sin's every beck and call. And what we believe is this, that if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection as well. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as being the final frontier, or the final as the end. Never again will death have the last say-so or the last word in our lives. So when Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. For now, we have to think of it this way, that sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you, but God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on to every word that is spoken in your mother tongue. Amen. You are dead to sin, but yet you are alive to God. You are dead to sin, but you are alive to God. That's what Jesus did for us. That's exactly what he did for us. And that means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives any longer once that has occurred. And don't give in, don't give it time. Don't give sin the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected to the old way of life. You know, well, it might be a certain channel. It might be a certain website. It might be a certain neighborhood or area. Don't give sin, don't run little errands where you know sin stays and lingers. You want to stay away from those areas. Anything that's familiar to that old way of life, and you must throw yourself wholeheartedly and full time. You must remember that you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. I say again, we serve a God of a second chance. Sin can't tell you how to live, and after all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Amen? Amen. The freedom of God. Again, in closing, we no longer have to live under the tyranny of our old wants, our old hunts, our old desires, because we truly have a God of a second chance. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Glory to God.